United States.
Preservation versus development. The Big Grapple. Seaport Tower epitomizes New York's fight between housing and heritage.
There is nothing beautiful about 250 Water Street, a derelict car park in Lower Manhattan. But it is in the historic low-rise district of Seaport, an old fishing quarter, which was designated a landmarked area in 1977. The site is the focus of a legal row over a project dubbed the Seaport Tower, which has pitted preservationists against developers. The context is New York's dire lack of housing. In February, the city's triennial housing survey revealed a rental vacancy rate, the proportion of available housing unoccupied, at a historic low of 1.4%. The Seaport Tower, which would soar to 324 feet, higher than the Flatiron Building, would bring 270 new housing units in a convenient part of town. But at what cost? An unbearable one, say preservationists. The area's protected status was designated by the Landmarks Preservation Commission, or LPC, an 11-person panel appointed by the mayor. Once the LPC has landmarked a place, any plans for construction, demolition or alteration need its approval. The LPC was set up in 1965, emerging out of the rubble of the demolished Penn Station, and after Jane Jacobs, an urban theorist, saved much of Greenwich Village from being flattened into a highway. Its report on Seaport depicted the area as a trove of some of Manhattan's oldest buildings, with cobbled streets, merchants' counting houses, and dock workers' tenements. It noted the dramatic contrast between the small-scale brick buildings and the soaring skyscrapers nearby. Some fear the proposed tower would permanently change that. On the other side of the debate, housing advocates and economists, such as Edward Glaser, a Harvard academic, argue that by blocking construction, excessive preservation in New York has pushed up prices, creating exclusive enclaves of the well-to-do. But other factors are equally, if not more, to blame for the shortage of affordable homes. Nearly a fifth of the city is zoned for detached single-family homes, and this has choked out construction in large swathes of Queens and Brooklyn. The LPC's approval of the new tower on Water Street is the subject of a lawsuit. In the 1980s, the commission repeatedly rejected proposals for a high-rise building on the site, since it would be disruptive of the district's homogeneous quality. It raised eyebrows in 2021 by waving through a tower proposed by the Howard Hughes Corporation. Last January, the state Supreme Court took the rare step of overturning the LPC's decision. In June, an appellate judge in turn reversed that, allowing the tower to go ahead and excavations to begin. The South Street Seaport Coalition, a local lobby group, quickly filed a motion with the state's Court of Appeal, which is waiting to be heard. A laissez-faire approach to development would end up wiping out neighbourhoods for the quickest buck, argues Andrew Berman, head of Village Preservation, a lobby group. He reckons the approval of the Seaport Tower is emblematic of a permissive attitude of the LPC, which has made fewer landmark designations in recent years. It looks at some 30 applications a month, so it's hardly sitting on its hands. At a recent session streamed live on YouTube, albeit to an audience of just 17, it voted to push the potential landmarking of the Brooklyn Edison Building, an elegant 1920s Renaissance revival structure, to a public hearing. But its work to protect the city's historic buildings is facing more pressure than ever. In July 2022, the Jacob Dangler House, an unusual 19th-century specimen in Brooklyn, which was being considered for landmarking, was torn down overnight. The LPC told enraged locals that, due to an administrative error, it was too late to step in. Last year, the historic Hotel Pennsylvania, famous from Glenn Miller's 65000 song, was razed to the ground despite widespread objections. And in December, the commission approved a development next to the Merchant's House in the East Village, which dates from 1832. Preservationists fret that the construction work will cause irreparable structural damage. The city needs more housing. On April 22nd, Kathy Hochul, the state's governor, unveiled a plan to build more homes with tax breaks, zoning reform, and incentives to convert unused office space. But as the fight over Water Street shows, finding a happy balance between development and conservation will be hard.